Joshua chapter 13. Verse 1, Joshua is now old, and so Yahweh says to him, there remains yet very much land to be possessed. And yet, we've read that Joshua conquered the whole land. A very positive language used about no king stood before him, he won all his battles, and he conquered the land. And yet the land was not possessed. And in this, you see something looking forward to the Lord Jesus. And of course, remember that the Greek word Jesus is the equivalent of the Hebrew Joshua. So, on the cross, the Lord Jesus overcame sin completely. In his parable about that, he said that he bound the strong man. But it is for us to go in and spoil the strong man's house. And so, sure, he had in that sense conquered the land, but they had not possessed it. And this is unfortunately the tragedy of what goes on in so many human lives. The Lord Jesus has won, he has conquered, and yet we don't want to take that which he has conquered. It is there for the taking. But of course, as it were on the front line, it seems not quite so simple. The person who is in addiction to this, that, or the other, and we are all to some degree repetitive sinners one way or the other, thinks, well, yeah, nice idea, but no, I just can't do it. And it seems so difficult, but in fact, he has overcome. This is the reality. When he says there remains much land to be possessed, well, this is the word for inheritance. There remains a lot of land to be inherited. And it's clearly alluding to the promises to Abraham. And therefore, those promises could at this point have come true. But they didn't, because the people just were happy with the little bit of land they got. They were happier to have the local Canaanites paying them taxes. Or if they were a bit too aggressive, they didn't even want to engage with them. They were happy that they'd run off and leaving them in peace. They were minimalists. They didn't want to raise their sight too high. And that is unfortunately a feature of human nature, that we are very earthbound. And yet the hope of the gospel of the kingdom, is that we can inherit the earth. We can inherit the kingdom. We really can live forever, and it is a lot easier than it seems. You think of how Israel looked at those walled-up cities and said, we can't possibly take these walled-up cities. And yet, as Rahab tells them later, we were behind those big walls, scared stiff of you. We had no fight left in us, no spirit left in us. We were scared of you. And yet, it was a case that there was the wall dividing two groups of scared people, the Israelite spies who thought, nah, this is far too difficult for us. And yet behind those walls, there were scared people who'd heard what had happened at the Red Sea and were terrified of the people of the God of Israel. Well, just a few comments on the definition of the land that we now read in Joshua 13. The definition of the land seems to change. You see, at the beginning of his ministry, Joshua is told to go and inherit the land right up to the river Euphrates. That is specifically mentioned. The Euphrates is mentioned. And yet, in reality, these borders that you're reading of later on in Joshua are specifically from the Jordan to the Mediterranean. It's as if the great river, Euphrates, has been sort of recalculated as the Jordan. So you see there how God is flexible. Sure, they could have taken the whole land. They could have had the promises to Abraham, which was of the land up to the Euphrates. They could have had that all fulfilled, but they didn't. And yet, okay, God is still willing to work with people, even if they take a far lower level. And that is true of all of us. We've all done that in different ways, and we likewise should be aware of that when we deal with others, that you can hold people to some mythical sort of line in the sand that you draw, or some level that you say you've got to jump over that before you can be acceptable to God. That is not how it is. Likewise, when you look at the boundaries of Gad, they appear to overlap the territory of Manasseh. And also the tribe of Manasseh had apparently, according to 1 Chronicles 5, extended their borders to the north. So these land grants were to some degree negotiable and flexible. And you think of Caleb and Othniel asking for specific territory as an inheritance. So this again shows that God is not like the God of Islam, where it's all a case of submission. He is open to dialogue with people. Who do you want to be in the kingdom? What do you want to do? Of course, through our life experience, particularly through the frustrations of our life experience now, we are goaded towards, or led towards, shall I say, imagining what I would love to do in the kingdom. Well, verse 18, Kedemoth. What about Kedemoth? Well, this was a city, according to Joshua 21, they were to give to the Levites. And yet it's listed here as one that had not been captured from the local population. So although those cities given to the Levites were supposedly by lot, it seems to me that the lot was fiddled with, because when you look at these cities that they're supposed to give to the Levites, so many of them you also read of in passages like this that say, yeah, well, they hadn't actually captured them. And I wonder why that was. It's not too difficult, is it, to see why. They thought, well, if we go and risk our lives attacking these people and take this city, we've got to give it away to the Levites. Nah, don't think I'll do that. They omitted the principle of 2 Samuel 24 when David says, I will not sacrifice to God that which costs me nothing. That is an abiding principle. If you sacrifice, you are left minus, and you are not to play around with things to try to shield yourselves from that. Okay, verse 30, you read of the land that was given to the 2.5 tribes. Remember, they saw good pasture land east of the River Jordan. They said, this is what we want. And now we don't want to cross Jordan. And God went along with them. You see how, again, God goes along with people. You've got to be careful what you really ask for, because in essence, you will get it. That's the lesson. So, okay, you don't want to inherit west of Jordan. Of course, that would have meant it would be that much harder for them to obey the command, for their men to come 3 times a year to present themselves before Yahweh and keep the feasts. All right, but this is what you want? Okay. But actually, it all worked out more difficult for them. Not only did their men have to leave the women and children behind east of Jordan while they went over and were in the front line that they were to go in front of the rest of the Israelites to make sure they inherited their land, but also the land grant that God gave them was huge. In fact, the territory to the east of Jordan was as big as, if not bigger, than all the territory to the west, and it was full of difficult people. See verse 30, their border was from Mahanaim, all Bashan, all the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jair, 60 cities. Now these are the cities, the 60 cities of Argob, that's talked about in Deuteronomy 3. And we're told that there in Deuteronomy 3 that this was called the land of giants. Deuteronomy 3:13. So they were not just told, okay, fine, you like this pasture land, you can have it, yeah, stay here. They were told, well, you can have it, but you also need to inherit this huge area that is full of giants, has got 60 cities just in one part of it, that is heavily populated by giants and strong enemies. And I think the simple takeaway is that there is, in fact, no shortcut to the kingdom. They thought, ah, this is the easy way. Let me just do this. Like you might think, ah, well, I'll just troop along to church once or twice a week and I'll be good, won't I? I'll get to the kingdom. Yeah, it's more than that. There is no easy way. We are to pick up the cross and follow Jesus. And that is non-negotiable. And of course, because we're human, we seek to wheedle our way out of that and to make the shortcut. This is how we're wired. And we're used to doing this sort of thing in life. What's the easy way? How can I automate this? No, you can't automate your way to spirituality. And it was the same, as I say, with the 2.5 tribes. Oh, yeah, this would do us good. Yeah, we'll take this. And God says, okay, you can take it. But Actually, I'm going to give you a huge area that's got 60 cities full of giants in it. And you figure that out from Deuteronomy 3, connecting this passage with that. And you ought to inherit all that. You ought to drive those people out. So far from avoiding conflict, which is, I think, what was in their mind to start with, oh, look, this is great pasture land and it's all open, we can just take it. No, they were actually going to have more conflict than the rest of the tribes. So there you are, no shortcut to God's kingdom.